today's topic, How to Know God's True Church Today, with host Pastor Bill Tucker.
If Jesus came to your city in person and said, "Let's go to church," what church would he take you to? Hello, friend. I'm Pastor Bill Tucker, and thank you for inviting me into your home. Before we get into our study on how to find God's true church today, I'd like to again direct your attention to this little book, Search for Truth Study Guide. This book contains all of the different studies that we are looking at. You know, every true follower of Jesus Christ desires to find the true church of our Lord and Savior, the one that Jesus totally identifies with. We want to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we have found it. But there's so much confusion on this subject as to how to locate God's true church today. For after all, there's so many different spires pointing towards the heavens, and each church declares, "We're the true church. Come and join us. We're the only ones." How can an ordinary person with an average education be certain which is God's true church today? You know, if you saw all the different flags in the world hung upon a line, could you tell for certainty which is your flag? Well, if you've lived in the U.S., there are several flags in the world that have stars in them, but there's only one flag that has 50 stars on it. There's a number of flags that have red stripes and a number of flags with white stripes, but there's only one flag that has 7 red and 6 white stripes. Just as you can easily locate your flag by certain specifications, so I believe that you can easily, with certainty, locate which is the true church of Jesus Christ for our day by certain identifying marks. And it's our purpose today in our study from God's Word to reveal these identifying marks. You see, there are many, many creeds out there. There's many churches. There are many religions. But the Bible reveals only 2 great systems of religion, the true and the false. By the symbol of a pure woman of Revelation, chapter 12, we have pictured God's true church. And the symbol of an impure woman, God reveals in different places there in Revelation, chapter 17 and also chapter 18, God reveals the false church. He calls it Babylon. Let's look at Revelation chapter 17, verse 3 and 4. "So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication." You notice very clearly what an apt description it is of impurity. That cup full of filthiness, abominations, filthiness of her fornication. God uses this symbol to represent a false church. Verse 5, "Upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth." You see, God names this church, He calls it Babylon. And how aptly this describes the confusion in the religious world today. You see, Babylon comes from that word Babel or Babel, which means confusion. We look out into the religious world today and there is such utter confusion. This church is teaching one thing, another church is teaching almost just the opposite. And then we find over here in Revelation 18 verse 2 these words, "And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird." You see, Babylon is fallen. And God, in His love and in His wisdom, does not want us to be in confusion. And so this is the call that comes to each individual here in verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. God makes it very plain here that His will for His people is not to stay in Babylon. He wants them to come out of Babylon. And why are they to come out? Because it says right there that Babylon is fallen. God does not want them to partake any more of her sins. Now, what is sin, my friend? According to the Bible definition of sin is to be found here in 1 John chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 4. For sin is the transgression of the law. It's the breaking of God's law. So the great call goes out throughout the world. Come out of Babylon, my people, that ye continue not breaking my laws. You see, every professed Christian religion in the world that's not in harmony with the commandments of God is included in this false religious system called Babylon. Now, even though there is a great spiritual darkness and worldliness existing in the churches which constitute Babylon, the great body of Christ's followers are still to be found in these different churches. But many are dissatisfied today. They're dissatisfied with the church conditions that they find. They're longing for clear light. And in time, the light of truth comes and shines upon their pathway, upon those hearts that are open to receive it. One day, my friends, very soon, seven terrible plagues are going to be falling upon Babylon and those who are in Babylon. That's why he gives this loving warning. Come out of her, my people, that you will not receive of those seven terrible plagues. Well, the question may be asked, how does God call his people out of Babylon? Let's look at Revelation chapter 14 and verse 14. And behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. What do these words describe to you? Well, it describes to me the coming of Jesus Christ in the clouds of heaven. That's what it says to me. But just before he comes, if you go back just a few verses, there is a message that's to go to everyone on planet Earth. Let's read it together. It's here in verse 6. It says, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. It's the everlasting gospel, it says. Christ has commissioned men to give the message, not angels, to preach and teach the gospel to the world. So under the symbol of angels flying in the midst of heaven, it denotes a message that's to go quickly throughout the entire world. And what is the message? It's the everlasting gospel. The good news about Jesus. But it's in the setting of three special heavenly messages. Verse 7, notice what it says. Saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Here is the message. It's the call to worship God as the Creator. Why? For the hour of His judgment is here, it says. Let's notice the second message. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And what is this second message? Babylon is fallen. What did we read that God wanted those in Babylon to do? Come out of her, my people. So the second message is, Babylon is fallen. Come out. come out my people. God has a message that is to go to the entire world calling people out of Babylon. But then there's more. There's another message in verse 9 and 10. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God." Notice it says, don't worship the beast. Do not worship his image. Do not receive the mark of the beast. Now in vision, the prophet sees those who heed this message, those who give this message to the entire world. He describes them in this way. Verse 12, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." You see, my friends, in vision, John saw a people who were to hear a message, a people who heed the message, and a people who give this message worldwide. They are a people who are going to be keeping the commandments of God. They keep the faith of Jesus, it says. Here are a people that are going to resist that mark of the beast, a people who are going to come out of Babylon, a people who experience through Christ righteousness by faith. Now when God's people heed this call and they come out of Babylon, where are they going to go? I would like to direct your attention to a description in the Bible that I believe is a description of God's true church. When we hear this call, when He wants us to go into the pure woman, into the true church, it is a call to be part of God's body, His special body. Let's read about His true church, His true people, as they're described over here in Revelation. Revelation chapter 12, it begins in verse 1. "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars." Now friend, if you would compare three different verses, Jeremiah 6, verse 2, Isaiah 51, verse 16, and 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2, you come to one conclusion, that this woman described here in Revelation chapter 12 is a figure or a symbol of the true church of Jesus Christ, His people. And the moon under her feet represents the light of the Mosaic age as described in the Old Testament, the types, the shadows. And then the sun represents the light of the Christian age at its beginning. The offering of those lambs for sins, they pointed forward to the blessed, the true sacrifice for sin on Calvary's cross. The moon under her feet and the sun over her head represents that the Mosaic age passed away. The Christian age was being fully ushered in. And so we find here pictured God's true church in this Christian era. But notice, the old devil does not like this church. Let's read on, verse 3. "There appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads." Now I wonder who that old dragon could be. Well, let's read it. Here in verse 9, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world." Who's that old dragon? Why, it's old Satan himself. So this chapter describes the conflict between Christ and Satan, how Satan was trying to destroy God's church. In verse 6, and verse 14, the church is then pictured as being hidden in the wilderness for a period of time, 1260 days. This represents how the great truth, which would be obscured and hidden from view during that long reign of papal power from AD 538 to AD 1798. Verse 6, notice what it says. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. That's very clear. Now we have to have some sort of yardstick, though, to measure this prophecy, because it's a time prophecy. If you were with us in our previous study on this particular passage, we found out that in Ezekiel chapter 4, verse 6, it gave us a prophetic yardstick to follow. It says, I have appointed thee each day for a year. That's Ezekiel 4, verse 6. So, applying that principle, 1,260 days, as recorded in this passage, would equal 1,260 years. Now, there's an unusual statement that ties in with this passage that comes from Wiley the historian. Listen to it. In 538, the Bishop of Rome became the head of all churches and the corrector of heretics, and the 1,260 years of papal supremacy began, during a part of which time for hundreds of years it was a death penalty to read the Bible. And thousands upon thousands were slain for keeping the Sabbath of the Lord and other Bible truths. Wiley's History, the Reformation. On account of the great apostasy from the truth which took place among professed Christians during those early centuries of the Christian era, the true church was to be in seclusion. It was to go into hiding, into the wilderness for 1,260 years. From that time, 538 to 1798. During this time, God's true followers were not recognized by the world. They were not seen. They fled into the mountains, into the rocks for hiding. You know, I've been in a place called Torpilecci. They're in the Piedmont Mountains. Some of these people that had to flee the papal armies, they suffered greatly too, under the sword. Now, when this period of 1,260 years is over, the woman, the true church, would appear again just before the final accomplishment of the church's worldwide mission. Let me ask you, suppose you were standing on a mountain peak and you looked down and you saw a train as it was going up the mountain. Then you saw it go into a tunnel. You didn't see it for a while. And then you finally saw it come out on the other side. I believe it would be the same train that went in, wouldn't you? So it is with God's true church. Christ established it. He and His disciples continued with it. And then when we get past that time period where it's not seen for 1,260 years... and it comes out into full view again, I believe that it will again describe His true church. Let's read about it here in Revelation 12, 17. And the dragon was wroth with a woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, who is the dragon? That's old Satan himself. Who is the woman? The true church. And what's this remnant it mentions there? It says, in the remnant of her seed. What's the remnant? Well, ladies, if you've ever been to a remnant sale, you go to a clothing store or a fabric shop, and you see on a table where it says remnants, you know it's the last part of a bolt of cloth, the very last piece. So this remnant must have the same pattern as the rest of the bolt of cloth or the first piece. The remnant of this bolt of cloth is also going to be a continuation of the same pattern as the first yard. It's going to have the same color. So this remnant church will be a continuation of the original church of Jesus, which the author of truth is Jesus Christ Himself. And it was established and founded when He was right here. It will be the last part of His church just before He returns in the clouds of glory at His second advent. So how can we identify this church? Let's put it together now. There are two outstanding characteristics that are mentioned right here in this passage. Notice it said that they would keep the commandments of God, and it says that they would have something. They would have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, what is this testimony of Jesus Christ? Let's let the Bible define its own Bible terms here. Revelation 19, verse 10. And it'll tell you just exactly what the testimony of Jesus is. It says, worship God. That's right down in the middle of that passage. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Interesting. So the remnant church, God's last day church, will be a people with a spirit of prophecy. But more than that, they'll have among them the revelation of truth that God gives through the gift of prophecy, through the gift of a prophet, which, by the way, was one of the identifying marks of the gifts that were to be given to the church. God's true church today will keep all of the commandments of God. It will have this special gift, the gift of a prophet. Now you say, well, Pastor Tucker, I'm kind of scared about prophets. What about modern prophets? Well, be sure to be with us when we have a study on how you and I can recognize a true prophet from a false prophet. We're going to have a study on that topic, modern prophets. Be sure to be with us for that study. But notice it says that this true church is going to keep all the commandments of God. I would invite us to turn to Exodus chapter 20. Perhaps you haven't read them in years or considered them. Well, let's consider them right now. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. We're going to begin by reading verse 3. It says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And then verse 4, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Now, if you're in a church, and in that church they're bowing down to images, what does God say according to this commandment? Babylon is fallen, come out of Babylon into my remnant church that obeys this command. Let's look at verse 7, which is the third commandment. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. If you're in a church that is taking the name of God in vain, you say, Pastor Tucker, in a church? Yes, Jesus said, when you pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do. If you're in a church, and I've been in some churches, and all I hear in prayer, Jesus, 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 using that name in vain, in which angels veil their faces when they say that name, my Bible says, Babylon is fallen. Come out of Babylon, my people. Obey this command that says, use not vain repetition in your prayers. Don't take the name of deity in vain and use it over and over again. Come into my remnant church that obeys this commandment. Then verse 8 and onward. Notice what it says. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. My friends, if you're in a church and it's not keeping the seventh day Sabbath, Saturday is the Sabbath, as God's holy day, the Bible says Babylon is fallen. Come out of her, my people. Come into my remnant church that is keeping the seventh day Saturday as God's holy day. My friends, the remnant church will be a church that keeps all of these commandments. Therefore, I believe it's safe to say it must be a seventh day Sabbath keeping church. Well, friend, with these identifying marks clearly revealed in God's Word, it's not going to be difficult to locate God's true church today. Let's put them down. First of all, it's going to be a church that appears sometime after 1798, after that 1260-year period. It's going to preach, secondly, a message that's going to go to the entire world, a message that's described there in Revelation 14, verses 6 to 12, It's a message that's calling people back to the worship of Creator God. And it's saying, for the hour of His judgment is come. Babylon is fallen. Come out of her, my people, and beware the mark of the beast. And then thirdly, it will be keeping all of the commandments of God. Not just 8, not just 9, but all 10. Therefore, it must be a seventh-day Sabbath-keeping church. And then fourthly, it will have a special gift. It'll have all the gifts in the church, as described there in Ephesians 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but it will have among them a special gift, the spirit of prophecy. You say, Pastor Tucker, where can I find such a church today? Well, how many churches, of the hundreds of churches, thousands of churches out there, fit those four specifications? Would it be hard to find the right one? No, my friend. There is only one, not two, only one that actually fits the four identifying marks. And that's the church which has brought these messages to you. When an honest man knows which is the true church of Jesus Christ, he'll let nothing hinder him from taking his stand with those people. I'd like to say to you today, I'm not a Seventh-day Adventist because I think Seventh-day Adventists are better than any other people. Not at all. But I've chosen to be a Seventh-day Adventist Christian because I believe that this church alone fits all of the identifying marks that God has clearly revealed in His Word. Now remember, God has chosen His special people in all the different churches. But He's giving a special message, calling His people out of Babylon and into His remnant fold. It was Jesus who also said these words in John chapter 10, verse 16. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Oh, my friends, it's so clear. He says that there are others out there. There are other folds. They've been scattered out there many cloudy and dark days. But in these last days, He says, I'm going to have just one fold and one shepherd. And then when you read down to verse 27... it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. God's call has come to you, my friend. You've heard that call through this study. You've heard His message. Not only does He ask you to come out of Babylon, into His remnant church, but He also asks that when you come into His remnant church, that you dedicate your life, that you share His wonderful message with your neighbors, with your friends, with your loved ones. Those who are in your inner circle of influence, they need to know of God's last call while there's still time. God is counting on every one of us to help carry on the good news. I, for one, am determined to be among the victorious ones in those last days. The Bible clearly reveals that those who make up God's remnant church, they're going to have a seal of God in their forehead. They'll be standing upon the sea of glass in heaven with victory over the beast, over His mark, over His image. The important question is, will you be among those victorious ones? Oh, friend, you can be. You will be if you obey the truth as it is in Jesus. For it's the most precious possession that you can have. And those who keep the truth, the Bible says, are going to be called through those pearly gates into the city of our God. Read it with me here in Revelation 22, verse 14. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. I want to be above everything else in this world, to keep the truth, to obey it by God's grace. I want to be among that blood-bought throng that marches through those pearly gates right into the city of my God. Friend, is that your decision today? Would you say just now, Lord, I want to be totally yours? Let's pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, blessed Savior, I want to obey Thy truth. I want to be able to stand with You and all the victorious ones that are going to be standing on that sea of glass in that last day. I pray that each one, not only in the hearing of my voice, each one who has loved ones, each one who has friends, I pray that we can all be standing with You. In Jesus' name.